España.
Ganaron.
Wow.
Okay. It's not just España, it's España.
We got
a roll.
The World Cup. That's how they pronounce it.
Respectfully.
Respectfully.
Okay.
We're spitting on everything.
Welcome to the Cooligans.
Welcome to the Cooligans.
World Cup final live reaction show. Not immediately after, but pretty close to
11 City Tour. We did it, Papa.
We just wrapped up.
You need some hand cream, dog.
I washed my hands like 12 times.
Now that's what it is. We've been shaking a lot of hands. We've been kissing a lot of babies. And they're like, stop kissing my baby. I'm like, that's part of it.
Okay. You can't do one without the other.
You guys, I shook your hand, did I not?
Welcome to the Cooligan. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Lamine Yamal in Spain went through a juggernaut of opponents to win the World Cup.
Look at that.
What a run for La Roja.
Maybe.
Did Lamine Yamal deserve to be the title guy on this?
I mean, look, he did what he had to do, and he was a dangerous figure.
Look at all the
figure.
People he killed. Kevin De Bruyne.
Like an assassin.
Damn.
Like everybody.
And he did it with that trophy. What a horrific thing.
Wow, why did they have a bloody trophy as the photo? No, man. Just an incredible tournament for Spain. I mean, I think this final highlighted how incredibly dominant they really were.
Defensively.
Which no one would have expected, giving up one goal the entire World Cup for Spain.
Yeah, but it's not like we didn't see, you know, Manchester City with Rodri. And every time he's out there,
right.
You can't beat them. And he took that to Spain,
but
bro.
After his ACL injury, he kind of dipped in form a little bit.
He saved it for the World Cup.
He literally, like, healed right before kickoff of the first game, right?
Peptides, bro.
He figured it out perfectly, man. But okay, you hit too many buttons. All right, slow it down. Okay,
we're back with the soundboard.
Yeah, welcome everybody. But no, this
two shots.
I mean,
congratulations.
Look, the numbers that we're looking at right now are pretty incredible.
By the way, the halftime numbers are straight zeros.
Yeah, I mean, two
for Argentina,
two total shots, zero shots on goal for an Argentina team that won the World Cup 4 years ago. For this to be the statistic that we're looking at right now is almost insane. Like, literally, no. I expected a non-high scoring game, but you would at the very least, if you have Lionel Messi, use him, right? You know what I mean? Like,
get
him the rock, get him with some opportunities. And but again, credit to Spain. This wasn't necessarily about Argentina being bad. This is really about how dominant Spain were. They did what they did. They were stodgy. They did what they did to France. And we saw that, and we just thought, like, oh man, how could any team neutralize a team like France?
Spain only allowed one goal across 8 World Cup matches, the fewest in a single tournament by a World Cup champion. Spain's defense was on another level all tournament.
Unai Simón, you know, won the Golden Glove. What do you have to do this tournament?
Yeah, he stopped one shot.
How many? We should get the stats.
Well, I mean, he only let off. Yeah, led by one shot.
But how many saves did he make? I would love to know that. Production is get to know that, because I just saw
Ross started sweating and typing. So they're looking it up.
I would imagine David Raya, who obviously won the Premier League,
10 saves all tournament.
10 saves,
brother. I think Evie Martinez had more in this game. Ross, can we confirm that? I think
so.
He had
11 saves over there. He didn't have to work. I mean, what
think
David Raya couldn't have been like, yo, I could have done that.
Brother, I've been there before. 10 saves. He got called to action 10 times.
It's remarkable. Obviously, there's obviously other stuff involved, stopping some crosses and a couple, but he really.
Passes he had to make.
And look, that back four. For Spain, I truly did not think that they would have a World Cup like they did.
The problem is, it's not just the back four. You saw the way they defend.
Yes, yes.
It's the back four and the two in front of them, man. Mm-hmm. It is impressive.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Also, De La Fuente just doesn't get shook.
Look, you would imagine there's like a top-down sort of confidence that he brings to that team.
You were saying top-down, get your eagle on. Remember that, John?
I don't know what you're
talking about. You don't remember
showing,
Get Your Eagle On?
You're showing your age, bro. I don't know.
For those of you who remember that, it was pretty wild.
Okay. I listen to cool music that I learn about
on
TikTok.
I thought you were going to say cool in the game.
No, but this is this Spanish side was, look, it started in a way with against Cape Verde, where I was just like, oh man, they're slipping, you know. Lamine Yamal clearly not that sharp. He couldn't start the game. So coming back from injury, and the game really didn't surround itself around Lamine Yamal. That he wasn't really the focus. It was Rodri. It was that Fabian Ruiz. Controlling.
Yeah, but the benefit of that is, or what the reason why that is because very simply, De La Fuente was like, everyone's going to be focusing on Lamine Yamal.
Mm-hmm.
So can we get Ferran Torres? Can we get Baena? A name nobody was talking about. Alex Baena
was unbelievable this whole tournament.
Incredible. Nobody was talking about him. Yeah. I like to think you and I, for, you know, yes, we're comedians and we tell a lot of jokes and we're here to be funny. You and I have given some insights about this World Cup that have pretty much come true. At both times, you and I have been right about stuff that you're not hearing on other podcasts. You're not hearing analytics or former players breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
You and I obviously had a pretty keen eye on what was happening because we had to study it because we were doing so many of these shows. And bro, you stick to football, you know, whatever the hell Wayne Rooney's on, Rio Ferdinand, all these people, nobody was talking about Alex Baena. Nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
And this dude is nonstop, always at the right place at the right time. Mikel Merino coming in with 5 minutes to go, finding ways to score. They were finding ways to make it work outside of Lamine Yamal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the, you sort of saw it when you look at like the possession numbers. And there were moments, especially in, and we, again, when we were previewing this game,
yeah,
I kept saying, like, Argentina need to make this game chaotic because if they don't, they really do not stand a chance.
I mean, look at this. And possession is 68-32. That's like an improvement over halftime for Argentina.
They just did everything right. This is a situation, especially a team like Argentina that have Lionel Messi, who they know is not going to really defend, right? That's not his focus. And everybody kind of puts in an insane shift to cover for the fact that Lionel Messi will not really defend. And it leads to success plenty of times for Argentina. But Spain are like the one team that are like, okay, we know you're basically going to be down a guy. So we're going to take advantage of the fact that this is not going to be a player that is really going to give us a lot of trouble when we have the ball. And made... a lot of times, you know, we were watching the game with a lot of people who are like new to the sport and stuff like that. And they're like,
what notes are you taking right now? The World Cup's over. What are you saying?
I'm just in case I want to say something while you're speaking farting into the microphone, as you normally do.
Don't reveal what I'm going to do at the end of the show.
I just ruined his closer.
Damn. So, I want to talk about, but you were mentioning like just sort of, you know, being able to sort of be at the right place and defensively so stout. What's the game plan against Messi? I think what we've seen all tournament was at the end of the game, especially after the second hydration break, fourth quarter, if you will, Messi seems to find a way to make an impact because, very simply, everyone else is starting to put pressure, right? That seems to be where Argentina like to put the majority of their attack.
This is crazy. Look what we're looking at.
Yeah, but can I tell you why this happened? Spain figured out that if Argentina get a red card before that hydration break, they don't have the bodies to put all that pressure on Spain.
So the opponent. The red card came after before the final whistle of a regulation.
It's genius.
So we'll talk about that in a second, but let's try to figure out.
Well, by the way, second yellow.
Yeah. Why did Lionel Messi was limited and did not have a good game by any means?
I can tell you one of the things that impressed me the most about the way Spain defended against Argentina was, if you notice, Argentina will have someone sitting at the top of the box that makes like a diagonal pass to Messi or whoever's on the right with him, and then they can play an overlap. And the goal is to break down and either find a way to make a cross like he did against England, or cut back and make a pass like he did to Enzo Fernandez, right? There was always somebody standing there.
Sure.
There was always somebody standing there blocking that pass or blocking that pathway. So they left Messi on an island. And the truth is, if you do that, and regardless how incredible he is, regardless of how talented he is, the guy's 39 years old. He's not going to be able to break you down every time. He's not going to make you, he's not going to punish you every time. He's going to have to hope for a moment of brilliance or a moment where he finds space, and Spain didn't let him get that space.
Yes. So, and look, I don't think they were necessarily expecting Messi to get them on a counter and outpace them. And this is where I want to give credit to Cubarsí. I mean, Cubarsí, Laporte, Cubarsí especially.
It's so close to Cubano.
He was, just like not a bad step the entire game. He's athletic, he's fast, good on the ball. He can push the ball forward.
He'll play the physical game if you want him to.
Dude, he was fantastic. And just the fact, again, these defenders who we see in the Premier League, in Pedro Porro and Cucurella, they're generally like, you know, competent the defenders, and they sort of like do their thing. Obviously, Porro doesn't play on the best of teams, and they concede quite a bit, but no shade at Tottenham. But they Messi didn't trick them or confuse them in any, there was really no moment. They handled him well, but the reason I think Messi just didn't have a good game is probably the reason people complain about Cristiano Ronaldo, who defend Cristiano Ronaldo for not having good games for Portugal. They're like, but the service. What about Bruno? What about Vitinha not getting him the ball? Mm. This is the one time I would be like, what about DePaul? What about Paredes?
Yeah,
about?
But that's they because Spain, not, yes. Spain put somebody in the place, and they were like, we've seen you try to do this, and right. Win.
They
we're not going to let
they
you.
Could, they just, the midfield for Fiorentina was completely lost. I mean, same thing happened to France. It is the why Spain is so good is not necessarily because they're putting in crunching tackles or blah, blah, blah.
You don't even notice the back line all game.
But you also don't really notice the midfield like sweating to try to win the ball back. It is because they are so precise with every single touch. There's no ball you could pass to them. You could fire a ball at 50 miles per hour, and they will control. They'll find a way. There's no mo. It's so surreal that there's no like they're never shook by any, especially with the ball. And that makes it really difficult on defenders. It makes it really difficult on that opposing midfield because psychologically, at some point in the game, you get so tired. You're just like, how come I can't get the ball? They're not making any mistakes at all.
It's like, you know, when an uncle like holds the ball up and the nephew can't get it. It was literally that for 90 minutes.
100%. Yeah. This puts
Carter's asking if Spain versus France was the real final. I actually think the most exciting game was probably England-France, right? 6-4.
The third place game.
For everyone who says there's no All-Star games in Europe, well, you just got one, buddy. That was exactly what it feels like to watch an All-Star game.
It was a dunk contest, baby.
Basically, it was a home run derby. Darby. Sorry, respectfully. I don't think so. I think this was what finals are, you know, tense and a lot of jabs, not a lot of hooks and keeping your hands up. And
yeah.
I think we saw that today. And I think it was going to take one team messing up. That's what it was going to take. And I Argentina mean, happened to be that team.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even put it to simply like, oh, one mistake is they got decimated. They got picked
but
apart.
But let's be honest.
They didn't concede a lot of goals.
Didn't get that, if Enzo doesn't get that second yellow, they very well could have held on.
And got into penalties.
Yeah, then honestly, they probably have the advantage because they got Emi Martinez.
They could probably.
They just, you can't do it when you're down to 10 against a team that has the ability to attack.
But you concede 30 seconds into the beginning of the second half of extra time.
Gut-wrenching.
It's a difficult situation. But I mean, look,
we just got the VIP. And I had to put down my drink and my chicken parm to look up.
Y'all understand. Y'all know what it's like. We're talking about, this is a relatable soccer show.
I mean, let me just say, you know how hard my life is? just got the VIP. I just got to the air conditioning.
Okay, please.
Mini chicken parm?
Can we put some sad music on so the audience.
Throw a little violin in the chat for me, bro.
I sent the photo on WhatsApp if you can guys get it. But we took a photo. We met Lori Hernandez. The Olympic.
The Puerto Rican gymnast.
The Olympic gymnast, the medal winning gymnast. So that was our experience today at Webster Hall hosting the breakaway tour. But let's get to player of the game. Has to be the goal scorer himself.
I was going to go different. I was going to go Rodri.
Oh, okay, no.
Shutting down Argentina is pretty impressive.
I agree. I mean, Ferran Torres came into the game, but yeah,
retribution, too, because his name was getting sullied after that first match and that crazy
because he missed that great, great opportunity to win the game or to score against Cape Verde. But no, he gets the game-winning goal. When he came into the game, I thought every sub for Spain, every time they came into the game, I'm like, bro, this is worse. This is tougher for Argentina. Like now they have the same, basically the same quality almost at every position. And I'm like,
fresh legs.
And fresh legs. I'm like, this is going to be an issue because This
is the first time we have a Spanish player of the match for our show that didn't just play 5 minutes, by the way.
Okay. But, well, 50, Marino, even 58. It's kind of impressive.
It's because of added.
Yeah. But no, this is, look, he made it. I thought there were a couple moments, not just his play on the field, but even the, was it Tagliafico that he like pushed him or whatever? There was a little bit of the chippiness that you don't necessarily expect from Spain. And even when Lamine Yamal got fouled or like held at, you know, by the touchline when the ball went out, mm-hmm. and he wanted to respond and didn't really, but the
there
composure.
There were a couple times where Lamine Yamal was getting kicked or pushed, and he just walked away.
Exactly. They composed themselves well. I mean, and this is why, you know, that's such an important factor in the game, because look at the red card. Like, if Enzo Fernandez doesn't get that yellow, that the descent yellow, the one he's upset that he thought he got fouled. And it's like, bro, it's a World Cup final. Like, kind of lock in. If you're going to get a yellow card, get it for something that's worthwhile.
Yeah, make it worthwhile.
And look, Enzo Fernandez, who's the star against England, just has a nightmare of a game in the midfield, man. Zero, looking at StatMuse, Enzo Fernandez, zero goals, zero assists, zero shots on target, zero shots at all, zero chances.
Zero touches in the opponent's box.
Just kind of...
Which reminds me of my ex.
Okay, all right. He calls his opponents. defeats them.
Did you say feet? okay. All right, we got some tweets and comments. What are y'all saying, bro? Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube. Please leave your comments. We will we'll react to
make
them.
Make it funny and we'll put it up.
Exactly.
Show us what you got.
Let's see. So some we got a comment. Trump not understanding he needed to move was hilarious.
Well, what was that?
This was when he was giving out the medals and the trophy. We kind of missed it. So if there's a picture or something, please let us know. But we were on our way here when they were giving out the medals and the trophy.
Lewis, he knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah, he's like, no, I'm staying in the camera shot. Thank you very much. Spain, Barcelona, retired Messi, poetic.
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
That's a good point.
Yeah, very much so. Quoting Nelly, unk status. That's you, bro.
What did I say?
I forgot what you were saying.
Get your eagle on. Yo, jump down, get your eagle on, everybody. De La Fuente, more like De La Fuerte.
Así va, papá. There we go. We got a bilingual chat.
Damn.
We love
every attack collapsed on was so impressive. Yeah. Bro, they just shut you down.
It's.
I'm going to start calling Rodri mother-in-law.
Because
she just shut you down.
Boring football prevailed in the end. Oh, damn. We got the reviews are in.
Kind of true.
Spain. Yeah, that's it, man. But I'm saying it's frustrating when you're playing against a team like that because you lose your focus because you're just like, I'm bored. I can't even get my adrenaline up. You're not letting
let them eat cake, bro.
Okay.
Justice done. Spain, the only team trying to win that final. Argentina, until very late, we're content and I'm not saying that word. I'm only joking around. I'm messing around.
Ian Dark ain't
Let's
problematic.
Have some fun, everybody. And frustrating and play for the penalties. Paid the penalty for such a negative approach. Ugly game with disgraceful scenes at the end.
So, okay, I'm going to respond to
this. Spain worthy champions. I don't remember the ugly scenes at the end.
Disgraceful, ugly game. Oh, Paredes got it right. Okay, we didn't see that. Yeah, all right.
He shoved Gavi to the ground.
This
and I got his eagle on.
I don't
which
agree.
Is crazy.
Okay, man,
that's an instant red card.
How does he know that song? I don't really agree with this because I don't think it's easy to say. Oh, the Argentina weren't trying.
Can I just say the double space before the niggle? It's kind of crazy because you know maybe he had an autocorrect.
Brother, come on.
He was like, oh,
don't do this to Ian.
Oh, not this.
Anyway, the fact that...
Tell me I'm wrong.
The fact that this was not Argentina not trying till very late or trying to play like an ugly game. They got completely manhandled and controlled, and they could not compete with a team like Spain. So I don't want it to be that they weren't really damn, even Toni Kroos getting involved. Look at this. He said, hit him with the football one. Yo, this was even at Webster Hall, where the majority of the crowd was
super Spain.
I
felt bad. There was like a woman in a bucket hat in an Argentina shirt.
Yeah.
And I don't think she was prepared for when I said, is there anybody that just wants to see Argentina lose? And the crowd went crazy.
20, we have had our, what was that one? with Shakira. We have had our first ever World Cup halftime show. Thoughts? Shakira has now appeared in more World Cup finals than Gerard Piqué. Kermit the Frog now has more World Cup final appearances than Cristiano Ronaldo. That is the fact. The Muppets being in there, I was like, okay, this was a nice. That was actually the biggest surprise. Oh, this is great. Okay, we're looking at little
fluffy cucurellas, bro.
Cat cucurellas is adorable.
Cat cucurellas. Messi tried Zito. To snitch. Damn, Messi tried to snitch, and the God said, "We can't allow this to go on longer."
Okay, shout out to Zito. Argentina players, whenever a Spanish player touches the ball, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, the Enzo second yellow was exactly that. He was like, no, he was doing the no, impossible for that to be a second yellow. My man,
watch the video, and I think you never see it.
My man did a backflip. What are you talking about?
Was there blood? I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you'd see that on camera.
But yeah, this Messi didn't have a good game because he was stressed out about the MLS All Star game, bro. You think Messi's gonna play? And he's never played an All Star game.
When is the All Star game?
In like a week or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's coming up. It's in
in
Charlotte. No, my wife doesn't want me to travel anymore. We're done.
Hey, can you go to Charlotte? It's only for 3 days.
I missed that. Stop. Okay.
I won't let him eat fried food.
So... This
I'm lying about that part.
Let's do some stock up and stock
We're
down.
We're just gonna get all eagled on. All right, stock up and stock.
What is feel free in the chat. Let us know what you think. But
stock down, Messi, man.
Really?
You had a bad game. We gotta call it like it is.
I guess so. I mean, he couldn't have. I don't think else he could have done. To
it
be
feels
honest.
Bad to give it to Messi, yeah, because it's not his fault. But I would say. And look, it's not a great game, but maybe we should put the blame on Scaloni. You got to be able to make a couple more adjustments.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe this is the one place where his lack of experience, which was an issue when he first got the gig, and people thought, well, it's not going to work because he hasn't had any experience at this level. Maybe this is a moment where that actually comes into play.
I thought before the game, I'm like, you know what? Spain are the better team. But like, you know, the Messi magic and the Argentina magic, like they've been able to like come back in these games. I mean, it's going to.
I'm just picturing you getting your eagle on at the whole stuff.
Okay, this is a lot. Everybody gets a real peek at how Alexis's brain works. This is how it is, dog.
The whole time he's been talking, I've been thinking about it. I'm like, why is he doing that?
Anyway,
it's gonna hurt his knees.
This is for Scaloni. I think the main thing to focus on for him is that I think he thought like it would something would happen, like, you know, the players. And the quality have always been there, and some incredible moment always happens, and they just did not come.
When you trust your players to figure it out, sometimes they don't. And for that to happen in a World Cup final, I think some questions need to be asked.
He did. So he
I'm not saying he gets sacked.
No, yeah, but he brought on Paredes. He saw immediately the midfield is getting cooked. Like, we need something, and they just. I mean, I would give him more credit than, or he at least tried to make more changes sooner than Deschamps.
Yeah, that's
against
true.
Spain. So he's like, he saw what the problem was. I'm sure they watched tons of tape, game tape, and we're like, okay, let's not let this happen to us. And we're like, oh man, it's happening to us.
Or maybe it was just like, man, what is happening?
And it's a kind of just a harsh reality of like, you know what we're gonna do, and you're not gonna stop us.
Is stock up for Ferran Torres? Ferran Torres?
Nah, I mean, for me, it's Rodri. I mean,
he won Ballon d'Or. How much higher can your stock go?
I think, Ferran, I think...
We knew what Rodri was going to provide, right?
I mean, look, it's hard because, like, Argentina down a man. Like, it was going to happen at some point. It happened to be Ferran Torres in the right place at the right time. I mean, he had a decent tournament, but he wasn't a starter.
Then is it Unai Simón?
Definitely not. Not for me. I don't know. I mean,
you gotta pick somebody, but Rodri already won Ballon d'Or. It's kind of difficult for me to sit here and say,
yeah,
well,
I mean, but credit to him because when he came back from the injury, you know, he didn't immediately play a bunch of games.
Alex Baena.
Yes, without a doubt.
Okay, all right. Okay. Come on. We decided. Okay.
I thought Baena was great. I thought Fabian Ruiz was great. Like, when you hear there's a video of Lamine Yamal talking about like who are the kind of the important players that don't get a lot of recognition.
Right, just real quick while you're saying that, this doesn't look all that impressive.
Over the course of the final, right? Yeah, his stats didn't really reflect the tournament that he had.
71% pass percent, pass accuracy. We got to give him all the shine.
No, there were that midfield. I mean, the midfield should get that stock up, man. I mean, between Ruiz and Rodri, they were just flawless, man. They just didn't make mistakes. They didn't really lose the ball, and even in high like pressure situations with players on them, they you don't necessarily think of Spain as like physically kind of imposing, right? They don't have a Erling Haaland type of guy.
No, they don't.
They just.
But I think that's their superpower. You never know who to watch out for.
Yeah,
it's everybody.
Yeah, and but it highlights the there's an envy, especially with watching compared to like the U.S. men's national team, where like you don't necessarily feel like every single player has that clear identity of they know exactly how to play.
Of course,
and all, literally all on the same page.
We beg for the day when that happens.
But Spain makes what, six substitution, and those six players, know exactly where to be with the other six that they just replaced, and there's no drop there might be a drop in like talent, but not in chemistry.
Yeah,
they all know exactly what their role is, and they have an identity of like what Spanish football is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like. The 1-2s, the combinations are no matter who was there, they played the exact same way.
It is crazy to see them not playing tiki taka and winning, but they've won the Euros and they've now won the World Cup. Do we got to talk about, is this the beginning of a dynasty? I don't feel like you're at a dynasty yet.
Dynasty,
to me, you got to win one more. Like when they sandwich the World Cup around 2 Euros, that's a dynasty. What are we going to be saying in 2 years about this team? Are they winning another Euros? Can you see anybody stopping them?
I don't see anybody.
Rodri is how old? 29?
I don't. Is it? Yeah, he's in his...
Rodri's 30 years old. So Euros, he's 31, 32.
You're saying... You don't think it's what is it, a dynasty? Or I think it already is.
You got to win more than two.
I think we're already kind of there. Maybe I'm just early.
Had Messi, yeah. I would say you're definitely a little bit early. Yeah. Right? I think if they get knocked out in the first round of the knockout stages in the Euros,
that's impossible.
It's impossible. But if that happens, are you going to look back and go, but that was still a dynasty? I don't think so.
Sure. I mean, I guess we usually it's, like you said, like in the NBA when they went three, like that's
four is usually in American sports. I think in this because how
difficult. Four?
Yeah, four is a dynasty. Come on, guys. Am I wrong here?
Dude, it's three. If the Knicks win.
Three
next,
is a dynasty since yes. when?
Yeah. Well, who did it? The Lakers, the Bulls. You're not saying the Bulls doing it three times. They did it. They won six total, but they did three in a
row.
They
went one
two
for
times.
The thumb. They got theirs.
Okay. Now, bro, this is, I think...
By the way, the Knicks are already a dynasty. I don't care what they're
just, but the fact that they can win like that in such dominant fashion...
I always thought it was four. I get what you're saying.
Without Lamine Yamal scoring or assisting. It was Nico Williams that got the assist. The fact that they can win like that, I mean, it just says...
They won the Euros and this World Cup with like a different set of players, basically. Like Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal were like the two stars that everybody had to watch out for. Yeah. Lamine Yamal, I'm not saying he wasn't involved because he was doing so much, but he wasn't showing up in the way that even I expected.
Yeah.
He wasn't the guy, the superstar that was getting all the goals, that was bagging goals in competition for the golden ball. Like none of that. I was impressed. I was impressed with their ability to make everyone else pick up the slack of what I thought. And for them to not even have to start Nico Williams and for them to still be considered dynamic and still find ways to win. They won the whole damn World Cup.
Right, yeah. I mean, look, they were favorites to win, going into this. I mean, maybe France and Spain were sort of neck and neck. And France won, you know, they got to their semifinal like in probably... more exciting fashion, right? Like, you know, more exciting goals and fun games.
I'd rather watch a game of France than Spain.
Right. I mean, I didn't think anything Spain did necessarily was like boring, but they just they just hypnotize you with fundamentals, bro.
Look at the countries they had to go through.
Bro. Yeah.
They beat Austria first. Then they beat Portugal. Then they beat Belgium.
Australia.
Australia. Well, no, you're right. Australia.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, is that Australia? That was or Austria? I don't remember.
I think it was Austria.
Okay.
Actually.
Well, but the flag we're looking at is, I don't remember who they played, but
nonetheless, I think it was Austria. I think it was Portugal, Belgium, France, Argentina. Dude, there's no question that they deserve this. It wasn't like they had an easy route. They literally had to beat all the best players.
Sure, and you would argue Argentina had a much easier route. They were in a much easier group. And even in the knockout rounds, they were heavy favorites, and yet they made their games like so much more difficult than they needed to be. But they got found out. I mean, this is what World Cups are about. And, you know, is it disappointing that Argentina didn't play better? I mean, was the entertainment value of the game kind of centered around, like, you know, Lionel Messi and Lamine Yamal? Like,
I mean, there was a lot of back and forth. There was a midfield battle, but we didn't see much in the final thirds. And I think that was kind of the issue.
Yeah, they just...
But at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, what happens within a 90-minute match is one team obviously will carry some momentum and the other team has to figure it out. And what we saw was Messi and friends not be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you're not the only one. We just named a lot of great countries that a lot of people thought were going to be the favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you talk about superpower, but I think Spain's superpower is just like literally trusting in their system and their process. And like for a player like Lamine Yamal, who is obviously a fantastic player, but to like never even... The moment was not too big. He wasn't nervous that he's playing against Messi. He wasn't nervous about, you know, getting, you know, that Messi bathed him in that photo shoot. And
he next, Messi.
But it is it's a testament to just the kind of where their confidence is. I mean, it takes a lot. I mean, it's a World Cup final. You can easily take a bad touch, a bad pass, and whatever. And it wasn't even like about creating some dangerous chance for Argentina. It was literally not giving them an opportunity to get the ball. And it takes just a world-class level of talent. This is why when I'm, you know, sometimes when we were hosting these stores during this tour, there were people that weren't like diehard soccer fans. And I'm sort of some people were like, oh, 0-0, what a boring game or whatever. And I'm like, the exciting thing for me in watching a soccer game now, it's like, how is a player going to stop a 40-yard pass that's in the air and they have to control it while this defender is pushing them and doing everything possible to not let them get the ball? And now it's two world-class teams that are really good at that. And then how is it that you can still, you know how to like confuse a defense, or, you know, a confuse a player that's going to get the ball. You know how to make their like reception of the ball much more complicated and difficult. And that still doesn't work. And the fact that Spain, every little moment like that where Spain could have been a little bit shaken or nervous, just did not happen. Nothing any Argentinian player did shook the Spanish players. And this is why they're lifting a World Cup trophy. They just made it look easy. All right, let's take a quick look at more comments and tweets and see what's going on. There it is. We got Lamine bathing Lionel Messi.
Messi looks so angry.
He sunned him, bro.
Yeah. Damn.
When you don't have Daddy Infantino and the referees on your side.
I hate this. I hate that whole thing, narrative.
It is, all right. Infantino looking for the referee after he blew the full-time whistle. He's look, I mean, look, the conspiracy theories and I mean, some were a little bit strange, but for the most part, I mean, I think Argentina deserved to be in that final. There it is.
Stock up Shakira.
Well done. She had a good show.
Yo, PK, bro. How'd you fall with that?
Okay. I'm glad they kept he who shall not be named from the center of the trophy lift and that Enzo was ejected. The world is healing. Damn. Okay. Big Harry Potter fan right there. okay.
Do you think Lisandro Martinez's early injury hurt Argentina? I think Romero got subbed out for an injury too. I didn't see Guti Romero get subbed out for an injury.
I must have missed that. Did see Lisandro, obviously. But I think
they were not going to help get more shots on target.
Exactly. They were forced to make some you know, early substitutions with that. That was probably the biggest issue for them. I couldn't believe Vinny lost that Ballon d'Or to Vinny. Oh, wait. To, I assume, Rodri.
Rodri.
As a Man City fan. But post winning that award, all he's done is back it up. That's right, man.
I mean, yeah, he backed it
I
up.
I would say, I mean, immediately coming back, he looked a little sluggish. Really not the same for Manchester City.
Yeah, but he just showed you throughout this entire tournament what he is. The Cooligans are a dynasty.
This is what we're talking about, bro. We did plenty of World Cup shows, much more than four. So we are officially a dynasty, I think. So four titles for...
Bro, 10 and a half years on top.
Major Money said to you, Alexis, four titles for a dynasty is crazy, beloved. Hit you with the beloved.
Damn.
It's usually three. That is
I
correct.
Did not know that. I've gone my entire life believing it's four.
Three peats are just boring.
Maybe I just expect better.
Imagine if they had Fermin Lopez and Samu. Yeah, I mean, wow. Fermin, while he got hurt right before. I got to sneeze. Sorry, everybody. Oh, wait, it went away. Okay. Anyway.
Now.
Okay. No. I'll get there at some point. This is the other controversy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the third place game. But the Golden Boot winner happens to be Kylian Mbappe. Mm. Some people were already saying, like, hey, should that even count as a Golden Boot winner?
I don't think third place games goals should count towards World Cup goals.
Interesting.
Because they weren't even defending. I think I saw Shaq and Justin Bieber.
I just realized I sounded like Dylan from Love on the Spectrum. Interesting. Okay. So, Kylian Mbappe with...
I know. It's his favorite show. Yeah,
y'all ain't watching.
And he references it as if we watch it.
Everybody in the chat, y'all know you love Love on the Spectrum, okay? Yeah. It's a great show. Check it out. Anyway. So
I'm sure it's a fun show.
This is what do you
say? Love on the Spectrum. Ingrid was thinking about her ex. I don't know what that means. She was in a bag.
Everybody, you know what? Everybody has a trail of exes that you know you're not always the proudest of. So it is what it
she
is.
Just covered herself with it.
So anyway. Do you think the goal shouldn't count? Really?
No, bro.
It was an insane game. It was
no
10
one was
goal
trying
game.
To defend, man. Mike Maignan was, I think, an edible hit right before the game.
Maignan didn't play, right? It was Dean Henderson in goal. Was Maignan the third?
I'm sure he was.
I don't remember who was the goalkeeper for France. I hope it wasn't Maignan. That's a rough goal.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I could be wrong. Anyway, but Mbappe gets to his two goals, but even in that, you could tell.
It was Maignan.
Apologies.
And it was 4.7 was his rating.
I mean, look, it's the game isn't like serious, and we all know that. But look, I mean, this ends up being the difference for Golden Boot.
The third place game. You know what they should do instead of a third place game? They should just do a coin toss. Yeah. Do a coin toss.
Literally the whole crew was like, what is this?
What about this football on the spectrum? Yeah, hear me out.
Everybody said, who are we working for?
Why play this game? Look what Kylian Mbappe was able to do in this game.
I mean, it was entertaining. I'm not going to say, I generally do not like watching third place games. They're usually always bad. But if they're always like this, I could kind of concede on like, hey, maybe the stats shouldn't count because it is a ridiculous game. But the entertainment value was insane.
If the stats don't count, then why do you care?
I'm not saying I care.
The U.S. finished in third place in the first World Cup, and there was no third place game.
Okay.
You were just given the third place trophy.
By why? How would you determine who was the third place?
The goddamn coin toss.
Okay. This
and
is
everybody here reacting like
televise it, bro.
I'm not 100% sure that's true. But I do think there was like there was something. Something happened where they were just like, and you're third place.
Okay. Okay. This is it. Oh, well, it, I mean, that's a fair question, right? Is it the greatest Golden Boot race that we've seen at a World Cup? I mean, the fact that there were this many goals and it was this close.
You know what it was? It was the fact that any one of these guys could have won it had they been given the chance to play in an exhibition match like the third place.
I mean,
but Bellingham could have done it. Erling Haaland could have done it.
It feels like a little bit of an asterisk for Kylian Mbappe to win the Golden Boot.
Make that asterisk clap.
Okay. All right. I guess he was drinking, maybe.
I'm delirious.
I mean, we've been speaking. Well, we've clearly logged about 2,000 hours of speaking.
This is what happens when you hit 10,000 hours. Then you become a master or something. Now you become this, dude.
Okay, my man. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, anyway. This is
you said ass in asterisk real hard. That's why I said that.
Okay.
You really hung on the ass.
You're very easily triggered. Okay, so Rodri ended up winning the Golden Ball.
Uh-huh.
It's similar to the Ballon d'Or, where it's like, oh man, he didn't really like do a bunch of bicycle kicks.
You don't know ball. You don't know ball if
that's
you think he doesn't deserve the gold, the Ballon d'Or, and you don't know ball if you think he doesn't deserve the Golden Ball.
Yeah, I mean, without
now he's got two Golden Balls. Now, good for him.
Without Rodri, I mean, Spain does not win this World Cup. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, who was close? I mean, maybe for me, Kylian Mbappe. Olise,
you can make a shout for Olise or Kylian Mbappe.
And then
see that.
obviously Messi,
Erling Haaland as well, his ability to carry that.
Anybody
team
else that like didn't score a whole bunch of goals? I don't know. I mean, Olise seemed to me, for me, is the closest of like didn't score.
You could make a claim for had they beaten England, you would have been able to make a claim for Martin Odegaard, because I do think he had a tremendous tournament, but I think Rodri deserves it, especially after this final.
I don't think you can make a case for Martin Odegaard.
Of course
but
you don't. Of course you don't, because you are an Everton fan.
You know, yeah, Jordan Pickford should have got the Golden Ball.
He's like, what why aren't we talking about Seamus Coleman and everything he's given?
No, I mean, there wasn't. I think, and this is who Rodri is, even when he did win Ballon d'Or, throughout the season and throughout the year of a footballing season, yeah, he's not getting highlights. He's kind of under the radar from a casual fan perspective.
But that's we can't sit here and dictate the who wins these awards based on what the fans are going to clap about or cheer about, right? Because a lot of fans want to see action, and what Rodri does is stop action, but he does it better than anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, and it shows and highlights a lot of what like if you can leave this World Cup being like, okay, I understand why he is a special player. That's a great, like, that's you learn something from this World Cup.
Yeah, there's a Busquets-esque, not Busquets-like, but there's a Busquets-esque.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the highlight. Busquets has the reels.
But what they said about Busquets, I think counts for Rodri as well, which is if you watch an entire football match, you're not going to see Rodri. You won't see Busquets.
Yeah.
But if you watch Busquets/Rodri, you'll see the whole game. And I kind of think that's true, but you don't get the...
He just doesn't have the flash.
You don't get the faints.
Yeah, he doesn't have the flash, but it is...
He's not techie.
But it's, I mean, as far as like a footballing mind, kind of a general in
he's
that midfield...
Virgil van Dijk-ish in the sense that you're not getting crazy stats, but he's never been in the wrong spot.
I mean, look at this. 101 accurate pass. And for midfielder, that's incredible. 4 tackles, 6 recoveries. Like, this is... He kind of also doesn't really get a lot of credit for, like, his defensive capabilities as well. But it's like, there's a reason why passing lanes are clogged. There's a reason why there's not a lot going on in the midfield when the opponent has the ball.
Can I tell you who this is? Shane Battier. Do you remember Shane Battier?
Of course I remember Shane Battier. Yeah.
All right. There was when, what's a guy named Urijah? The dude that used to be the sporting director or the GM of Toronto when they won. Or was it Houston?
I don't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Okay. When he first got, took the contract at another team that he was playing for, that he was managing, he started looking at the stats. And what they realized was Shane Battier, whenever he's on the court, the person he's guarding has like a 30% worse game than they typically have. Then they're below the average. Because while he's not the greatest defensively, he's not the greatest offensively, he understands to put people in bad positions. He understands how to get someone who's really good at what they do and put them in a position where it makes their job harder. So he's almost using the entire essence of the game, the court, the spacing, everything else.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Rodri does. Rodri finds a way to make your job dramatically harder. And when Rodri's on the pitch, the team he's playing for has a better chance of winning, and the team he's going up against has a much worse game. So at the end of the day, whether you understand, not you specifically, you as in, you know, universally you, whether you understand what Rodri's doing or not is not the point. If you know ball, you know exactly what Rodri's doing. And guys like Scholes and, you know, other midfielders, you know, that have played the game at the highest levels will all tell you, the guy's electric in a way that seems boring to everyone else. And that is so difficult to do. This man, you're going to look back and think to yourself, you were lucky to play to watch the game in an era where he played.
Yeah. But if that's your teammate, you're just like, thank God he has the ball. Let him have the ball as long as possible.
Are we good? Rodri here.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, let's take a look at some more tweets and comments.
What are y'all saying?
Rio Ferdinand, football's the winner.
Why would you double up on the hashtag?
It's an interest from 2022 to 2026. The the villainy, the new villain.
Why Argentina even hashtag FIFA World Cup? Of course, we know what you're talking about.
We got to do it twice, right? It's kind of remarkable, the PR that happened to Argentina. Even online, people, I don't know what happened. They open history books. They're like, we're not a fan of Argentina anymore. Hey, wait.
My buddy who's English was like, I had no idea.
Happy to see Odysseus made it back to his wife in time for a World Cup final. There's Matt Damon, who's married to an Argentinian woman. Yeah. Have you seen the story of the going to the Boca game, going to Bombonera? Yeah. That's a great story.
Spend all you want on halftime shows. You can't beat this.
That's it. Gunnosaurus.
Charlie Watts does an Arsenal reporter. He does a great YouTube
third place
channel.
Game should just be the old MLS shootout.
Yo, now we're talking.
Trevor, here we go.
put your ideas in the chat.
Pete's on the spectrum and you got Alexis hooked.
I might be the star of that show, dude.
No. Dude, those people on that show are amazing, bro. Inspiring. It's so awesome.
Why even have a third place team? Who cares? I agree with you. It's not like the Olympics where there's a podium.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we need it, but it is. It was this one.
Alexis, hey, yo.
Wow,
what did I say? Oh, make an asterisk.
Maybe it was
Ingrid
that.
Made a good point. She said the money is why you have it. I want to be on whatever Alexis is on.
There it is. The asterisk is getting its eagle on. There we go, Michael.
Everybody. Alexis is hitting that pizza sauce. All right, there was red sauce on the chicken parm.
Okay, I didn't have any. All right.
You missed the chicken
Mbappe
barn.
Finished as the top scorer in La Liga, the Champions League, and the World Cup. And this season, and still 1-0 trophies. Hey, man, I don't know what the curse is. It's he can only win Ligue 1. And that's it.
I love a third place game. No sarcasm. Let teams who feel they should be competing for a title battle each other out to not feel worse for our amusement. If Cabo Verde made it there, we'd celebrate.
That is true. I like that.
But they didn't, dog. And I want these players to go back to Arsenal. Shane Battier. Damn. We need to see Shane get there, Elon. Huh?
Okay, man. This
become the theme of the show.
Hey, it happens. All right, let's rate this World Cup and feel free in the chat as well. Let us know what you think.
All right, when we do this, we have to do
just the footballing
from whistle to whistle.
Okay, I mean it's difficult. But
you can give the other score after.
Yeah.
But for right now, everything else that happened, some horrendous things, you know. When we're
we'll get to that.
We're signed off to make this happen, but. And this happened in Qatar, right? There were some really horrific things on the way there.
Yeah.
But once the game started, the games themselves, it brought people together. You know, the scenes of, you know, all the Dutch in Kansas City and everybody rowing everywhere and all the fans and even Argentina fans taking over Times Square. And, you know, in Atlanta, man, the scenes of like security guards dancing and, you know, the ladies cooking the food. The Argentina fans are back there banging on pots and pans and getting them involved and all this stuff. Like, that's what makes the sport more relevant in this country. That's what changes people's minds about the sport. And we spoke to a lot of people that were part of this tour that we did. Shouts to everyone at the Breakaway Tour. We're like, I never cared about the sport, but I do now.
I think so. My score is going to be influenced by the bias of the fact that we're hosting the World Cup, right? So we got to see a lot of that.
We went to every host city.
Yeah, so we got to see what every city was like on match days and really kind of experience that, those fans. So that part of it, you know, with the backdrop of like the awful stuff going on politically and everything, because the concern was that, you know, foreigners were gonna not have a good time,
yeah,
right? That
was, and they wouldn't be welcome in Lawrence, Kansas. Is
yeah,
a
yeah.
Example.
So those, I think, those scenes brought a little bit of
humanity
life and
got
humanity
a little bit.
Yeah, and that was just great to see because, again, you know, the last few years, the United States seems like it could be incredibly xenophobic, but when you meet the people on the ground, you realize like, oh, that isn't what the
and
reality
in a way,
is.
I think a lot of the people that maybe were xenophobic before this World Cup, I'm sure there's a few of them that have had their minds changed.
So
seeing how everyone came here to enjoy America in a way that I didn't expect to happen. You know, you got people trying ranch for the first time. There was a lot of good that came out of this in a way that where I look at the games and I look at the spirit around it, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. And the only reason I'm docking it a point is because the hydration breaks. Because I'm talking the 90 minutes.
Right.
And people getting a chance to go see their nation in this country. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. And the hydration breaks was the only part of the game itself that I don't like. And there's already talk about MLS trying to implement this. And there's already talk about other competitions trying to implement this. And I do not want this.
Okay. I think a nine is very high. But I will say I'm going to go with a 7. Because I'm gonna have the beginning and the end, right? And the final I just felt wasn't super entertaining, wasn't as entertaining as the 2022 World Cup final. So I love the inspirational moments, especially of these like quote unquote smaller teams having really good World Cups. There was not outside of like Panama, Haiti, a couple ones.
Maybe Canada.
There was disappointment, but there weren't many teams that just got absolutely clobbered. What was it? Curaçao had like the one bad game, but they got a result. And like there were just like really, really like cool moments. But overall, because you add more teams, you're gonna have a couple more dud of games. And not to say that there were a lot, but it didn't sway me to the point where I'm like, I love that there's 48 teams now.
I got to be honest. I think it's a resounding success having
48 I think it's successful. I think it's successful from a business perspective. It didn't necessarily lend itself to a guarantee of just like more exciting games.
I don't know. I disagree. I think you probably would.
There were a couple group stages.
There's always that.
I understand. I'm just saying that.
I don't think you're completely wrong, but I think maybe now there's a little bit of recency bias. Right? We've gone so far that we're not looking back and thinking about how inspirational some of those nil-nil draws.
I'm not taking anything away from that. Yeah. No, there were like incredible moments. I think a 7 is fair. I think a 9 is just like, man, that's almost a nearly perfect World Cup, and I don't think we were there.
I think if we're going to look back at some of these games and think that we were really lucky to be able to watch these.
Okay. Let us know what you think.
Norway was on. I mean, was I right the whole time? I think so.
Okay.
Isn't that what's most important?
Yeah. That's everybody in the chat is like, thank God Alexis was right. Let's look at
World better when that
a few more comments before we wrap up. P. Morton said, Spain plays like those old school Italian teams without all the dark arts.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to highlight.
It's got the Nacho without the Gattuso.
So when money is involved, it matters. Money, money, money. Yeah, I mean, that's why.
Third place game.
They might end up having, we got Reading 8 to 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Damn. Interesting. Okay.
69 out of 10.
Okay. That's more accurate. That's about right.
That's not hands clapping.
I think the World Cup helped remind the world that people from around the world are good people, regardless of differences.
Yeah,
couldn't agree more,
Michael.
It's governments
that are trash. People are good.
Exactly.
Unless you work for ICE.
Leading with the wallet always helps any relationship. Okay. Yeah. That's how you have to say how much money you make on every first date. You lead with the wallet.
So what do you do with your investments?
Okay. All right. So, this is a...
I think this is a job well done for the players that played in the World Cup. I think it was a big success as Keyshawn. I agree. I think these games were incredible. I mean, we had every city we went to. I don't think we had a bad game. I'm trying to think. We had a couple.
I don't know. I mean, Paraguay, France was kind of ridiculous. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a bad game.
But it was interesting.
It was a penalty and, you know, a bunch of fouls with no yellow cards. It was kind of
interesting.
Ridiculous.
But 4 games a day was great. Yeah, that was a blast.
That was kind of nice. But you're saying that now, but when the World Cup is in Saudi Arabia and you're up at 5 a.m. to watch 4 games, it's going to be a little bit different. That's all I'm saying. So
I know. Saudi Arabia is going to work on new technology, but we all get to, we don't have to sleep anymore.
Do we all agree? Don't expand to 64.
I
agree.
I say do it.
Trevor,
look
I don't,
how good 60, 48 was.
Well, let's maybe get a couple more 48s and before we try all this. I don't want to just... The sample size of data is not enough for
me. Can I remind you what 64 teams being in the World Cup means?
More games, more more people exhausted.
Dominican Republic probably qualifies.
Is that it? That's it? You think I'm that's going to sway me?
Yes, it swayed me. I'm thinking Cuba.
They could get in with 48. Like what, six CONCACAF teams getting in? They could do it, bro. They lost to Guatemala.
How would you feel
on a qualifier?
How would you feel going to a World Cup game where Dominican Republic is playing?
That'd feel lovely. That would be great.
So let them earn it. Go against 64.
Let them earn it, bro. They can do it.
Christian doesn't want to make money. I don't know what the hell's
two or three matches a day was perfect. See, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not for everybody. So I understand.
Well, we'll see, because I don't think the Women's World Cup is expanding.
I think at some point it will.
It
soon,
will.
But
eventually.
Yeah.
But I don't think for this next one it will.
Mexico versus England was a classic. I do agree with that. That was an incredible
game.
That was
incredible.
It was a classic, you know, fail for Mexico from 4,000 crosses and not any ideas at the top of the box.
I'm quoting, so I'm not swearing, but it was just Dan Byrne twatting the ball away with his forehead.
This is, yeah, this was
69. Getting out hints, but
let's go. Ad hin FIFA didn't win.
I hadn't heard that one.
It didn't work.
Paraguay had to play a physical game to have a chance. Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they had a chance up until the end.
It was tactical. Sure. Yeah, the fact that there were no yellow cards given to Paraguay
The formation is F them up. That's crazy.
It's literally a crime that happened. There's a difference between physical and assault, brother. That's right.
It was pretty close to assault.
Man,
64 teams, and they still won't qualify.
That is true. They can't figure it out, bro.
Crazy. Curacao was in the World Cup and you weren't. Okay.
So, man, this is the World Cup is officially over. We traveled to every single American host city for this
break. The miles is up.
The miles is up. Yeah. Bruh,
the miles is up.
Okay. That's really the biggest takeaway out of this World Cup. Alexis's frequent flyer miles. Hope everybody can celebrate that.
Hey, let me tell you something. Your boy's really close to diamond again on Delta. Let's go. Okay. Free upgrades.
But it's been an incredible experience. I want to make sure we highlight all the incredible work from our Yahoo team. Doing everything behind it, whether it's you watching all the graphics, whether pulling out comments and all the funny comments. They've done an incredible job.
Carter, Ross, Ingrid, you guys have been amazing. Yeah. And everybody else behind the scenes. Thank you, everybody.
Seriously, it's been a dream getting to do this. Alex is really going crazy with the buttons. But no, nah, man. It's a proper professional outfit. Just the fact that we're doing this stuff and graphics come up and all that. Well, I'm like, man, we're on a TV show.
Isn't it crazy that we say a name and suddenly their stats pop up? That's crazy. Back in the day, we just used to do fart jokes on this thing. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. So a slight little upgrade. Yeah. You're welcome, everybody. But we couldn't do this.
What are fart stats? Pull those up. Okay. If you're really good.
The 1v1 fart analysis.
But I also want to thank the Breakaway Tour. Yeah, that had us on. These guys were incredible, man. Everybody who worked on it.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of people who stayed away from their families for a month and a half.
Sure.
And, you know, some of those families are probably like, thank you.
Yeah.
But the rest of them were like, we miss you.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to our wives for holding down the fort while we've been away and doing all this stuff. I mean, it's been,
thank you. We are going to get our eagle on.
Okay. That's what they're hoping for. Not a vacation.
We got to take them away.
Dinner.
We actually both missed our wedding anniversaries because of this tour.
Yeah, because of the World Cup. Blame the World Cup.
Honestly, the World Cup's just more important. And I don't know how to explain that to you.
Right, he speaks for Alexis and the Guerrero's family only.
I'm sorry. I read your dialogue. You were supposed to say that.
That's my cue. No, man. This has been a kind of a dream World Cup. The fact that the U.S. Was hosting the World Cup and we got to be a part of it. I got to go to my first ever World Cup game in Brazil against Norway. And just having these moments. And meeting hanging out with Jack Harlow, Ludacris,
Luda,
Phoenix,
Addison Rae.
But just this is, you know, everybody kind of appreciates this sport for different reasons. But without this sport, we don't get to experience it. We don't get this community that we built.
Two dummies who decided to take the time that we weren't on stage. Sure.
I mean, speak for yourself. Maybe one dummy. Have you seen the show?
Dude, don't call yourself. But no. two dummies who had no idea where this would go. And we got a chance to be a part of a great tour in the World Cup. We got a chance to go to the World Cup game. For me, if I could take a moment, just the go full circle. The first ever professional match I went to was in the 94 World Cup as a kid. Another family took me. Yeah, another family took me and gave me a ticket because one of their children was sick or had injured themselves. And I got a chance to go, and that made me fall in love with the sport.
Alexis did a little Nancy Kerrigan. Yeah. Kind of, Tony Harden.
Yeah. It was so weird. A kid, a fat kid with a balaclava, took out the slowest of them all. What a real shame.
You know, you got to make your own destiny sometimes.
Hey, look, sometimes you got to knock on the door if you want somebody to open it, you know? But no, I got a chance to go to my first ever World Cup game and to go to another World Cup game where I'm now a part of the sport in the same, it's not the exact same building, but it's the same stadium essentially, right? Because it was the Meadowlands and now it's this. And one of my dreams was to perform at the Fillmore. I remember telling my wife when I started in Miami, I said, one day I'm going to have a show in there. And I got to do that. I got to do Webster Hall. I got to do the Eastern, which is relatively new. I got to do some of the greatest, music venues and performance spaces in this country. You know, I remember telling people, like, I'm in another city or whatever it is, San Francisco. I'm going to be at the Midway. And people are like, hey, that's a big room. You're filling that on your own? And I was like, yeah.
So we got a couple more comments. Michael Raymond says, 64 teams and the DR and Cuba qualify for the World Cup.
Bruh, whatever, and Italy still don't.
Whatever it
does
takes.
Does Blangola get in? That is the real question.
Asking the right questions in the chat.
If they don't let us play the sport with weapons, we are not even going to try to qualify. So 64 Blangolia, definitely.
This is what we need to like tilt the odds in our favor. Whatever kind of, see, I would be more excited about Blangola qualifying,
buddy,
over.
I gotta be honest, I could care less what Cuba does. Blangola's in there.
I put a couple pictures in the chat. We can get some of those in there just before we wrap up.
We're putting a lot of pressure.
We got a lot of eagles in the chat as well. Look, also the U.S.
Get your eagle on, bro.
The U.S. men's national team. I think having kind of, you know, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end.
Yeah, you're way more positive about this. But everybody, get your eagle on.
I still have some optimism where the U.S. men's national team are, for sure.
I agree that progress was made, but not enough. That's how I'm sticking. That's my thing, and I'm sticking to it.
So, I mean, look, thank you so much to everybody who joined us throughout these 6 weeks.
In fact, there's a lot of people in the chat that have been with us for almost all these shows. Do you have a favorite moment?
But we got to make a little compilation highlight reel of this, man.
Put a little Sarah McLachlan at the end of it, because it's sad that it ended.
So this is
like that video where she puts down all those dogs.
Yeah, she did that.
I don't know what the commercial's about, but
yeah.
I never really
she's clearly
that.
Responsible.
I didn't watch the end of the commercial, but I think that's what she's doing. I think she's putting down all those dogs.
Sure. Yeah, that's why
they're ripping you from the hands.
They're like, we gotta hire Sarah McLachlan.
she just loves putting down dogs.
Okay, I mean, it's please. People are more sensitive about dogs than they are children. So.
Remember when I said that the queen had gotten COVID, the Queen of England? And I said that's because her guard had it. And the only way she can come is if he spits in her mouth. Remember? And we didn't realize the guy who on the venue we were doing it.
Where did you say this? I don't remember.
The first ever live we did at OSNYC.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought it back. Everybody was waiting.
I just remember the guy who owns the venue is British, and he's like,
okay. Well, this was Lori Hernandez, Olympic.
She is tiny.
She went, I believe, in 2016, a gymnast.
Also, watch my hand placement.
Okay,
it's on you, buddy.
Watch Ludacris's hand placement.
Hell yeah, dog.
But this was incredible. Shout out to Ludo. Ludo also mad nice.
Yes, and
this is what the breakaway tour looked like, man. I mean, performing.
Isn't even one of the more packed.
Yeah. This is spaces. This was at the Fillmore. This was in
Miami. They showed up late in true Miami fashion.
And but again, this World Cup. Not only, you know, we obviously doing the show.
If you don't know, the Fillmore is where the Jackie Gleason show was,
which is why it's named the Fillmore at the Jackie Gleason Theater.
They moved to Miami, that's where they moved the show. And me as a kid without cable, I used to watch a lot of, you know, old school TV, a lot of old.
Yeah, dude. So seriously, this World Cup has been kind of a dream come true, and getting to do this stuff and everybody we worked with and everybody involved and kind of making all this stuff happen. And, you know, I highlight it because I think sometimes, you know, we've done some shows and people like treat us like we're like famous. And I'm like, no, that's not, I don't think of myself that way or whatever.
Well, I say yes.
No, this is a,
I was like, it's about damn time.
We wouldn't be here without this community and everybody in the chat and everybody who tunes into the podcast and listens and in their commute and everything. It seriously, it, it means the world
in
to
August,
us.
It's going to be 11 years. Since we started this show.
That is true. So,
wild, bro.
I mean,
shouts to everybody who's been a part of the ride.
Seriously. Yeah, this is the best. So everybody, yeah, let's end here. Let's take another this is like, it's a fair question. My favorite moment is media reading my comment. Media?
Is us.
Oh, Jedi. Yeah, that was great.
Heavy.
Yeah. That was a great moment. Yeah, I mean, that's what the cool thing is.
Losing it over a dog. Why? Why are we sharing that?
Well, that was Pochettino sharing a picture of his dog. Alexis was like booing it.
How about you coach the team? How about you be Belgium? I don't give a shit about your dog. Okay. In fact, we should take the dog away from him until the next World Cup. Am I right? Righty. The best moment.
Yeah. U.S. Needs to start training D2 wide receivers to play at some point. That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay, that was more. Okay. D2 receiver in goal to be at goalkeepers. That'd be interesting. Okay.
What? Who's the safeties? A couple cover guys.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, everybody, let's wrap up there. Thank you so much. Seriously, unbelievable. What a World Cup. I mean, again, congrats to
Carter,
to
Ross,
Spain.
Ingrid. Anything you want to say before we go?
No, they don't want to speak.
They're all miming.
But trust me, there's people. There's not just a ghost team that we... It's not the Sixth Sense.
It's actually just three dogs Christian keeps calling.
Okay, but we've trained them well.
Yeah, they're so quiet. So...
Oh, yeah. Ross hasn't barked. That's the bark.
Ross, bark into the mic.
But no, they won't hear it.
I still got him to do it. He just meowed.
He meowed instead. Okay.
We're all broken individuals.
Okay. This is why we're a good team. All right. Everybody. All right.
World Cup is over.
Let's go.
There's still time in the day. It's 8 p.m. Get outside and get your eagle on.
Adios.
Get a video of it and send it to us.
Take care, everybody.
Tag us and you getting your eagle on. We're going to share
it on
Instagram.
We'll be back soon, right? I think we have another episode. Thursday, maybe? I don't know. We'll be back. Subscribe.
Bro, we might not show up today.
Who knows? We're very tired. But hopopefully we'll get to hear from maybe some USMNT players after this whole World Cup.
Shout out to everyone at Yahoo. You guys are the best.
Stay locked in, everybody. Y'all the best. Enjoy. I hope you enjoyed the World Cup. And I hope you enjoyed the World Cup with the Cooligans. We appreciate y'all. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Love you guys.